Blog Talk Radio.
The preacher
and the pastor.
Today is a very, 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 very good topic that we have today. I'm excited about this topic. It's something that everybody that I've come across are waiting for in life. You know, that's the young girl's dream of one day getting married.
Right. The thickness and thinness of marriage.
Wow. The thickness and the thinness of marriage.
I think today's topic is going to hit some areas that a lot of married couples and even people that are not married definitely need to hear this. This is some of the things that we just definitely do not talk about. So I'm excited about the show tonight.
I think we talk about it more like gossip about it, you know, about marriage, other people's marriages, or what's going on. But we want to help today. So that's what we come in to do, to help, not just to help you all, but to help ourselves and to encourage, you know, marriage and encourage people to hold on and hold fast to God and what God has called marriage to be.
Oh, yes. Now, listen, beautiful wife, this show going to be real because we're married. So we got to tell the truth to help someone.
Yeah, help you.
Because even telling someone the truth is able to help ourselves.
Amen, amen. If you're just now tuning in to the Preacher and the Pastor Show, today our topic, again, we're excited about it. We're going to let you in on our personal life and what's going on in our personal business and space and everything, just being honest and real. Marriage is more than just saying I do. It's also saying I don't. You know, not just I do, you know, it's I don't as well. And this show will bring a greater understanding of what marriage is and what really goes on in marriage. Now, it will cover the the who you are versus who you will become, visiting the roles of a wife and the role of a husband and the role God plays in your marriage, and knowing why the old single man or woman does not have a place in this union, which leads to the road of togetherness, walking in unity and not separate, then we will help you as well, help ourselves to understand what it means to be joined in holy matrimony. Amen. We just, again, we say welcome, welcome, welcome to the Preacher and the Pastor Show. I'll let you start this out, Lud. You know, with the thickness and the thinness of marriage, we were talking one day while my husband was at work, and we always talk about a variety of things. And so the thickness and the thinness of marriage came up, and we said, you know what, that would be a great show to do. And he actually came up with the title of the show, the title of the show, The Thickness and the Thinness of Marriage, because it gets thick and then it gets thin. And, you know, when we talk about the thickness and the thinness, what brings to mind, honey, when you thought about the thickness and the thinness of marriage?
Well, what came to mind when I thought about the thickness and thinness, first I have to recognize, okay, what does that really mean? What is the thickness? So I thought about, you know, being married, you know, and, you know, being together, you know, sharing with each other, you know, finding out some things about each other, you know, understanding each other, you know, just loving on each other, and just being in that happy place all the time. And even more than that, you know, finding out things about each other that maybe, you know, I don't agree with, you know, but just because, you know, I don't agree with it, that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that, hey, you know, the marriage is not what I expected because this is something that I don't agree with. You know, I still think that is the thickness of it, you know, finding out who your husband is or who your wife is, because this is the person that you decided to be with for the rest of your life, not some of your life, but the rest of your life, you know. So I believe that that is the thickness of it, you know, enjoying life with the person that you are married to. Amen.
Amen, amen. And when you're talking about enjoying your life, and, you know, a lot of people, they start counting the time and how many days we've been together and how many months we've been together. And I believe when you stop counting the time and they start enjoying the time that you have, because people, they'll be like, we're almost at the end. Hold on in there. You know, where is the end? It's like people are walking and ready, you know, just to get to the end. And, you know, I hear people say that and they don't realize the seed that they're planting in their marriage. It's like, okay, we've been through this thing. We halfway there. Where are you halfway where? You know, live life together. Just live it and love it together. Enjoy the goodness of life together. There's no time put on it. Enjoy the time that you have instead of counting the time that you've already been with the person. Because a lot of people spend so much time counting the time instead of making good with the time that they have with the person that they have married. And what I think about go ahead.
Hold on a second. Put a period right there. So you mean to tell me you can be married with someone and you're counting the days of the good days? Is that what you're saying? Oh, now, see, I didn't know that. So
I'm not saying that. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that people are just so busy counting the time that they've been together versus enjoying the time that they've been together. So you have people, I don't know if you ever heard it, but I've heard it where people say, you know, we've been through that and we're halfway there. We have the halfway marker. You know, we didn't put in this many years so far and we got a few more to go together. Hang on in there. We can make it to the end. You know, it's like, what is your end? Are you talking about, are you looking forward to death? Or, you know, it's been so long, you're like, you know, hang on there to the end. Instead of saying, let's enjoy this life. Let's plant the seed of enjoyment. Let's plant the seed of peace and joy and just enjoying the time that we have and not looking forward to the end to come. Some people are looking forward to the end, which is death. We're going to die this thing. I don't care if you hurt, you wounded. We're going to hang in here to the end. It's like, okay, what a good time then.
Well, I guess men and women, they look at it in a different perspective because, you know, because when men, see, when we are single, you know, we hang around, you know, our brothers, you know, our uncles, our friends at school, our coworkers, you know, we always look at the end being when we get married. Oh, man, you know, I done hung up my old trophy. Or I done hung these old shoes up. I don't do that, so, you know, it's over for me now. You know, I'm married. So we look at it already as being the end. So what we looking at, what we talking about, what we talking about at the end. Now, I'm not saying, everybody, y'all hear me, I'm not saying that it was the end for me. I'm just saying that it was some things that men, how we think when we say the end, when you talking about as far as days are concerned, we already look at it as being the end the day we get married.
When you get married, you look at it as the end of what? Not the end of, it's the beginning for you of marriage and the end of the old man, the end of the single man, and the beginning of the new man, the married man, and living that life as a married man. I think when a lot of women say this or people in marriage say that is because their marriage, they spoke that into their marriage, and they're looking for the end because things are not going well. Or, you know, it's like, I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to hang it into the end. And hopefully the end is close. And it just, you know, they don't just give themselves time to really enjoy the marriage, enjoy each other, whether that is, and they allow people to speak into their life things and plant the seed of confusion and destruction. And, you know, they allow people to say it because you get all the time, man, you're going to have some problems in your marriage. Man, it's going to be days it's going to be like this. Man, it's going to be. And then we can decree, we can send back and say, no, my marriage is going to be successful. No, nobody's going to be cheating in my marriage. No, you know, and then people, they, you know, you have to tell people, you know, you have to tell them, no, I'm not going to receive that. My marriage is not going to be that way. But some people receive that, and they be like, oh, okay, and they prepare their mind for those times. They prepare their minds for the worst instead of the good days of marriage and enjoying one another, saying, this is it. Like you said, as a man, when you marry, that is the end of that way, and now I'm going to live my life as a married man or woman. Come again?
Yeah, that is what we look at. That is what we look at because, you know, like I said, we are in these groups. We are in these male groups. And, you know, for men, you know, once we get to a certain age, I don't think, you know, when we were in our youth and our teens, oh, I'd never get married. Oh, man, I ain't never get married. You know, I got all these girlfriends. And why am I going to give up all these girlfriends? Why would I get married to one person or one woman when I can have all these women? You know, I'm just telling the truth because I thought that, and a lot of men, you know, they thought the same thing. They thought the same thing. You know, why I'm going to give up, you know, my single life, you know, to live a life, you know, that I have to do right. I got to do right. You mean to tell me I got to, oh, no, I ain't ready to do all that. I ain't ready to do all that yet. And I believe that is the reason right there that men and women, too, you know, wait, you know, so long to be able to find that person that they're looking for, you know, and marry.
Yes, it could be true. When you talk about the times when you decide, when the time that you decided, you know what, I'm going to get married, because I know you said that was one of the things that you wanted to do. You called yourself husband. I am husband. But before we get into that, I just want to talk, my perception on what sticking into the thinness of marriage is, because I think about that, the vow that says for better or for worse, and what that means in marriage. For me, it's referring to the thickness and the thinness of marriage. Instead of pulling together and supporting each other, they pull away, isolate themselves, keep their thoughts and feelings in, and sometimes making it through the worst is having and being able to talk about the hard and uncomfortable things in your marriage. Because we were talking earlier, you know, what happens when, you know, one begins to cheat or one begins to go outside and do this and do that, because it's a failure in communication. Communication stops. And when I say about communication, if you're arguing, you're not effectively communicating, so you're not getting anywhere. And so that's when the thinness of the marriage come in, because now we can't even communicate. And if we can't communicate, we can't help each other, you know, and now we're not even talking. Now we've isolated ourselves. Now you're in one part of the house and I'm in another part of the house and I'm doing my thing and you're doing your thing and we don't come together. And so that causes the breakdown in the marriage, which is the thinness of marriage. And I understand that you can have thickness all the way through. It is up to you and your wife to decide if that's what you're going to have. You know, and if you have those rough bumps, okay, we can do that. We're going to count them all good. We're going to count it all to glory, because, one, how do you operate? The Bible declares, can two walk together unless they agree? A lot of people are getting into marriage, and they don't even agree. I've talked to people that have gotten married. They argued on the first day. Come again?
No, you cannot. You cannot walk together unless you agree. You cannot. You cannot walk together unless you agree. I remember back, see, when you just said that, I remember back in elementary school, we used to have a time called field day. And in field day, we had the three-legged race with two friends. You know, they would be arm in arm or armor wrapped around each other, and they would put a band, some type of rubber band, or they would take a band down and they would tie the inside leg together. And they would race, you know, other friends, and it's two at a time. And you have to be able to be on the same step and you have to be on the same accord to be able to make it to the finish line. And the person that does it the fastest will be able to run the rim. But we have to make the same step simultaneously. So when you said that, you know, can two actually walk together except they agree? No, you cannot. Because if one was to make a step in the wrong direction or a step farther than the other one, we're going to fall. We are going to fall. Either one is going to be dragging the other one along. Are we going to fall?
Amen. Amen. I mean, some of us are getting, we get yoked with someone that's not equally yoked with us. And you can't yoke up an unbeliever with a believer. We can't help each other. That's going to always be an argument or conflict. So we're not even agreeing on what we believe. So if I'm in a position where I need you to cover me in prayer and you don't believe in the God I serve, how are you going to be able to help me? How are we going to be able to grow? So people understand, okay, I'm in this marriage and it's not working because, one, you yoke yourself with, you're not someone that you're not equally yoked with. And so now you have this breakdown and you're trying to be a part of something. And now you're saying, okay, this is supposed to be love and this is not looking like love. And God did this and God said, I didn't have nothing to do with that. Because even in the Bible, he told the children of Israel, do not marry. He told them, do not marry those people. Do not, was his word, to them not to marry. If we look in 1 Kings 11, verse 2, it says, from the nations of whom the Lord has said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. So Solomon clung to these loves. So what happened is, and Solomon still, he disobeyed God. He ended up marrying these women that God told him not to marry, and they turned him from God. And as we know who Solomon is, he had everything. He had the money, he had the wives, he had everything he wanted, and everything, God gave him everything plus wisdom and everything, and he told him, do not, and he did. So when we marry someone that God has not chosen, God, and we go out there and we marry someone, understand and say, well, God, this is my husband, and this is my wife, but they're destroying you. They're bringing you down. They won't church with you. And I'm not talking about going to the building. They won't church with you because you are the church. You and your spouse, y'all are church. You just bring it to the building and congregate in the building with others. And so if they won't even church with you, they don't even believe what you believe in, and you're saying that God put this together. No, God did not put that together. And then people, you know, they don't want to look at it and say, well, God, I'm praying. I don't want to leave my husband, and I'm being abused. I'm being beat. I'm being down and all this, and then God, but I know God is going to bring me through, and God said, I don't have nothing to do with that because I told you all, do not intermarry with them. And that's not the first time that God said that. You know, if we go into Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3, he said, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughters to their son, nor take their daughters for your son. So they will turn your sons away from following me to serve their God. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. If you're just now tuning in to the preaching of the pastor show, we're talking about the thickness and the thinness of marriage. Who are you married to?
Okay. Okay, all right. So now I'm here thinking now. I'm here thinking, okay, yeah, I have to examine myself because you and I have been married, and I just want to say, you know, I've been having a great time of being married to you, but not all. You laughing? But you laughing?
I've enjoyed being married to you too.
Not all the time. Be honest with you, not all the times have not been so smooth. So I'm not gonna say great, but not all the times have not been so smooth. I might as well just go ahead and tell the truth about it. And I found out that, you know what, that's part of being married. That's just part of being married. Just because, you know, every single day is not like yesterday or the day before, you know, you're going to have those days to where you're going to disagree with something that I'm saying or with something that I'm doing. You're going to have those days. But that don't necessarily mean that just because I disagree with you, that don't mean that I have to become disagreeable. See, but when you become in that place where you are disagreeable, what that means is that everything you say, I have to try to find a way to either make it better or to shut it down because I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that because you thought of that. I didn't think of that. I don't think it'll work because I didn't think of it. I believe my mind works better than yours. You know, we get like that. We definitely get like that. Whose way is the best way? Now I'm married to you. Now think about this. I'm married to you, and I plan on being married to you for the rest of my life. But here I am. I'm trying to dictate on how the marriage is supposed to run. I'm just going to say a few things, you know, that most people would not say, you know, male or female, you know, they would not say that. You would just become, you know, upset, or you become angry, or you would start doing things to provoke the other one, you know, to feel bad or to feel a certain type of way. You know, that's the thickness, you know, and the thinness of it. That comes along with being married. You know, some things that I do realize that I have to do, I do have to do the same thing that I was doing before I married you. I have to do the same thing. Now, I know I can ask you a question, and you probably can ask that, but one thing that I know that I do have to do every single day, I have to make sure that I tell you that I love you. I have to do that. Not only do I have to do that, I have to make sure that every single day I kiss you. Those two things right there, I mean, there are other things too, but those two things I have to make sure every day I tell you that I love you. And I have to do it more than one time out of the day. I have to make sure that I kiss you every single day.
Amen, amen. Yes, Bethany, you do that. You make sure that's something you do all the time, and that's something that you said in the beginning. I will make sure I kiss you every day and tell you I love you every day. And that's something that you've done every day since we got married. And actually, now you've added to forgiveness. You came, I believe, this week or last week and said, every day I'm going to ask for forgiveness. I may say something. I may do something. And not intentionally, but I just want to say, you know, forgive me, you know, ask for forgiveness. And so the other day he had to come had to render.
Wait a minute. Do we need to take a commercial break before you tell this? Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. Go ahead.
Not quite yet.
Okay.
And so he had to come in, but he had to deposit. It's so important that we deposit forgiveness and love and passion and compassion for one another. So when the day comes when you need to withdraw from that, you know, make sure that you have something in the account, because what happens is a lot of people are pouring into one another, or you're doing all the pouring and one is receiving and one is, you know, only doing all the receiving and one is doing all the giving. So when it comes time to render services to, there's nothing to render because you haven't put anything in. So because my husband does make sure, and with sincerity in his heart, he does come in every day. He's going to kiss me. He's going to tell me he loved me. He's going to wake up and say, good morning, how are you? He's going to kiss me. He's going to tell me he loved me and ask for forgiveness. So the time came yesterday, the other day, and he said, okay, now is the time I want to use that forgiveness.
I got to use
that. I've been depositing in. I want to take that out and use it today. And I had to let him use it because he poured in. And that's very important in our marriage, that we are pouring into each other. And that's not one that's doing all the forgiving, doing all the giving. You know, bending over backwards. Because then when it's time, when things get rough, when the thickness turns gets thin in the marriage, there's nothing for that person to pull from because you didn't pour anything in them. You left them on empty, and you're asking them for love, and you're asking them for understanding, and you're asking for forgiveness, but you didn't pour that into them. So now they don't have it to give to you because they've given it all to you. And while they were pouring into you that, you was not pouring back into them what they was pouring into you. But then you're trying to withdraw something that you didn't put in. Go to the bank and try to withdraw something out if you didn't take everything out, and then you're going to try to use your ATM card, and nothing is coming out, and you're saying, hey, wait a minute. And they're telling you, you haven't made no deposits, but you made 20 withdrawals and not one deposit, but you're looking for something that you've already emptied out. And it's the same thing with your marriage. You know, when we go from thickness into the thinness of marriage. And one thing I do is I make sure daily that I do the same thing. I do tell him I love him, I kiss him, and I make sure that I place my hand on him. I touch him. There's a physical contact, whether it's my hug or hold his hand. And I pray for my husband every day. I cover him. I get up and I make sure I pray and I cover my husband. So that's something that I do, and I've committed myself to that. It's nothing that he's commanded or demanded me to do. That's my commitment to the marriage, is to tell him I love him and kiss him and have that physical contact and prayer to cover him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you're just now tuning in to the Preaching the Pastor show, we're talking about the thickness and the thinness of marriage and just really keeping it real on what it is. There are several vows out there, and we got married here recently, and we're so excited what God did in our marriage and how we knew that God called us together, that God ordained that marriage, you know, that holy matrimony that we entered into, that we knew it was God, and it didn't take us long to see, you know, who we were to each other, who God had called us to be in each other's life. So I remember the day, but you know, I'm going to let you go, honey. I'm going to let you go and tell people. Like, how did you know when you saw me that, you know, that's my wife? And where were you at the time in your life? You know, were you looking for a wife? Were you asking for, I mean, where were you at? And then when you saw your wife and knew, this is my wife, and you knew without a doubt.
Well, you know, first what I want to say is that those last few things that you said, it had a lot of anointing on that. You said making deposits every day. Make deposits every day because you don't know that day where you have to make some withdrawal. You was talking about forgiveness. Oh, that would help me. And I didn't even realize, you know, that I was doing that. But, yeah, that one helped me. Yeah, beautiful wife. Oh,
amen.
So you said when did I know that I wanted to marry you? Okay, well,
yes, you know, there's a time before you even met me, though, kind of where were you at? Like, not physically where you at, but mentally, where was your mind at, you know, before I came into your life? And then when you met me and that you knew, this is my wife.
Well, you know, I think it was around about, I'm 38 now, I think it was around about 33 years, when I was about 32 or 33 years old. I had made a decision that, you know what, it's time for me to find that person, you know, that I want to be with. So it was about 5 years ago where I actually made that decision. But I didn't even make that decision like, okay, let me just go pick somebody. I actually wanted to be the best husband that I can possibly be. But I didn't know how to be a husband because I had never been a husband before. So I had to hang around husbands. I had to, you know, ask husbands questions. I had to hang around husbands, and I had to actually find out what it means. See, I never asked them any question, you know, how do you be a husband? I just sat back and watched. And there were one or two particular men that I actually I watched them, you know, how they were with their wives and the type of things, you know, that they did and said, and even the things that made them unease, you know. I paid attention to all of that, and they were in the church. These two men, they were in the church, and they mentored me. They definitely mentored me. So I took a marriage course, like marriage counseling course, and they didn't even know that they were even teaching it because I wanted to know. I wanted to know, you know. So from that time, from 33, you know, all the way, you know, up until now, you know, I had made a decision, you know, that I'm going to be with the person, you know, that I really want to be. So it was God that was working the whole time. I mean, it was God that was working. He was working that thing out. And when I saw you, it was almost like, you know, how you can see through something that's transparent. It's like if it's a glass, if it's glass, it might be a little bit, you know, foggy or fuzzy.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I saw you, you know, okay, I liked you. You know, I thought you were a very nice person, but it was something that I asked you. I had asked you a question, and when you answered that question, it was something that resonated, you know, in my spirit. It was almost like a blindness had came from over my eyes, and I was like, oh, wow. It was like God was showing me, like, that's your wife right here. And I knew it was you. I knew it.
Amen. I was, and it just, it, you know, amen, it brings me to, you know, the same thing. Like I knew, like I told you the story and other people, you know, I got up that morning after we had met and stuff like that, and I was sitting on the side of the bed praying, and I got hit in my side. And when I got hit in my side, you know, I got that love for you, like, this is him. He's the one. And I cut everything off. And so I knew then, without a doubt, and I dedicated all my time and all that I had to you and what I believed in. I believed in you and I believed in us. And so that was a good, you know, just a really, really great feeling. And I just thank God for you. I thank God for you and all that God is doing in you. And that's very important if you're tuning in right now to the Preaching the Pastor show, is that you can see yourself in the one that you marry. I tell people all the time, don't date someone that you will not marry. And it got to the point where my husband, when I looked in the mirror before I married him, I would see him. I stopped seeing myself in the mirror, and I began to see him in the mirror, which is my husband. And I had never had that before. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I see myself in him. And that meant a lot to me. That told me a lot in the spirit of who you are and, you know, and where God is taking you in the natural and in the spiritual. So I'm excited about that. And Another thing here, I wanted to say this. Again, if you all are just tuning into the show, we're talking about the thickness and the thinness of marriage. And we're talking about marriage. You know, we're newlyweds and we're excited about what God is doing. And we're just looking for, we're enjoying our life. We're enjoying our good life together. And we're just excited about life and marriage and in ministry. And so that's important to us. But we were talking about earlier about the vows. When we got married, it was one of the most beautiful days. If, oh, my God, it was priceless. It was priceless. And I remember praying, God, whoever marries us, Lord, bless the one that marries us, because we were trying to figure out who we were gonna allow to marry us, or who God was going to lead, you know, us to marry us. And that was important, because it wasn't something that we wanted everybody to be a part of. We definitely wanted to be about what God was doing in us. You know, it wasn't about the flowers, the dress. It was truly about us coming, becoming one. And doing what God is calling us to do. And so the urgency of us becoming together, because what was to come that would have kept us apart from getting together. So there are many vows, and we were talking about the vows earlier, about what those vows say when people commit themselves to the vows that they take. So we know that there are different religious faiths has wedding different vows, and that they have been passed down through generations, like the Protestants, wedding vows, Methodist, Catholic, Hindu, Muslim. They have different vows, and some of them don't even say vows. They just have a different rituals that they do regarding marriage, and they people just fall into it, and then they can't uphold those vows, uphold those standards. And now you have it where people are doing their own vows. Now, we talked about that earlier, so let's talk a little bit about that before we go to music break. You know, you're talking about people not being able to uphold those vows.
Yes. Upholding vows, I mean, we were talking about what vows did you make when you got married. So we were looking around and we were trying to find, you know, we have heard the traditional vows, and we were trying to find it. Like, where is that in the Bible? Like, where is that? Like, where can you find that? And we couldn't actually find, you know, those vows, you know, word for word, but, you know, there are vows of marriage that are in the Bible. And these vows that are in the Bible, you know, we actually have them written down, and these are the vows that we say to each other. Or we try to say them to each other every day, but when we come in prayer, we definitely, you know, pray these vows to each other.
Yeah.
And I have two that are my favorite. I have two that are my favorite. And the first one is 1 Corinthians 13:4, and it reads, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things." So because, you know, I this is one of the vows that's in the Bible about marriage. It's something that I have to, you know, examine myself, you know, each and every day. Am I using scripture? Am I living according to scripture? I want to be with somebody for, you know, a lifetime. But what am I using to be able to do that? What am I doing? It says endures all things. How do you endure all things? How do you hope for all things? How do you believe all things? Well, the only thing that's in life that you are supposed to hope and endure a way to live, you know, is the word of God. So we talking about the word. You know, this is in the word of God. So if you are living that way, you're probably on track. You are probably on track. Amen. You are probably on track with that one.
Amen. So there's so many different things. You said
you
had another one. Well, I'm going to let you give your second one. I do have one, but I'm going to let you give your second one. Go ahead.
Okay. So you're going to let me give another one. Now, look what we're doing right now. We're sharing and caring. Oh, we're about to help somebody.
We're sharing and caring.
You're giving me my opportunity to be able to read my vows off to you. I see what you're doing. All right. So the second one that I like comes from Ephesians 5:25, and it reads, "For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her." Just for a second. Okay, I see what it means when you say, you know, husband, love your wife. Just as Christ loved the church, he gave up his life for her. So when I read that second part, you know, just as Christ loved the church, he gave up his life for her. So I had to look, have I given up my life for you? Because before I met you, you know, I had a life. I'm not saying it was the best life, you know, but I was living a certain kind of way. I was living a certain mm-hmm. kind of way. I was doing what I was doing what I wanted to do.
When you
going where
to.
I wanted to go. I was when I wanted to do it, hanging out with whoever I wanted to hang out with. You know, I had no one to say, well, hey, can you not do that so much? Or why are you doing that? You know, why you want to spend time over here? Or why you want to do that? You know, I didn't have that. So am I willing to give up, you know, the old me to actually be in a loving relationship with you? Because that's what Ephesians, what it's saying, it says, for husbands, this means love your wife. You know, as Christ, you know, loved the church. You know, Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. That's what he's saying. He gave up his life. Will you do the same? Will you do the same? So I like that one, too. You know, that's one that I have to examine myself, you know, from Ephesians 5 and 25. Amen.
Amen. And so my ties right into that, which is Proverbs, you know, Proverbs 18 and 22 says, Proverbs 18 and 22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So this verse states that it is good to be married. You know, so when you're out there singing, you're doing a thing, you know, it says right here, you find a good, when you find a wife, you find a good thing. Not only that, then you're going to obtain favor from the Lord. So this verse states that it is a good thing to be married. So today, emphasis on individuals' freedom is misguided. Strong individuals are important, but so are strong marriages. That's why we're talking about the thickness and the thinness of marriage today, because marriage is strong. It is ordained by God, and it is blessed by God. For God created marriage for our enjoyment, and he pronounced it good. This is one of many passages in the Bible that shows marriage as a joyful and good creation of God. Amen. So I am enjoying the thickness of marriage, and I decree and declare thickness throughout of my marriage. You know, I just refuse to receive anything that's negative. You know, like we always say, but, you know, the Bible says, and another one for me is what God has put together. Let me get that scripture. That's another one in Mark 10 and 9. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And we have decreed, declared, not even we can separate what God has put together. My husband would say, if things are not, we're not in agreement on something, he would say, okay, well, you know, we can't separate this thing. Like, we in it. It ain't about us.
You ain't going nowhere.
And he'll tell me to get back in position. He say, hold on, you trying to get in the position that God in. Get yourself back in your position. You know, and so we always have this saying, come out. Come again.
That's right. Oh, we got to tell him about that. You know, that's what I was saying.
We
got to
tell about the whole come out.
I have the written law here that says what I am supposed to do. And there are also written law that's in the Word of God that says what it is that you're supposed to do. Now, there are a lot of other things, you know, that we are to do, but I like to use these certain ones. And I know if you're not doing that, wait a minute, you're out of line and you're out of position. Now, tell them about come out. You tell them about what you say come out.
Well, I'll tell them a little bit about what come out is. But before I get into what come out is, if there's anyone that wants to chime in on the conversation, I know that we have Apostle Miriam that is a marriage counselor. You know, she's an apostle. She's a teacher, you know, preacher. God definitely uses her. She has many gifts, and she's who ordained our marriage, and it was just a beautiful ceremony. I tell you, God truly used her, and we're forever grateful for her. And it was just beautiful. That day was just, oh my God, I couldn't ask for anything better. There couldn't have been the flowers. It couldn't have been the most beautiful dress. You couldn't have had on the most beautiful touch. You know, the music couldn't have been any great. It was just perfect in the way that God had ordained it to be. You know, we had the, and I don't know if you realize this, my love, that we had the Lord's Supper, and that's something that we do, and that's something that you've always done, is you've taken the Lord's Supper.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we take the remembrance of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And
oh, yeah.
The fact that it was done when we got married, I've never seen that done before. We were tied together with the prayer cloth. And that is prayer that keeps us together, that keeps us grounded, that keeps us humble in such a way of knowing that God has brought us together. I've never seen that being done. It was just a beautiful ceremony, and it was so, it felt so filled in the place, you know, with God's presence, the Holy Spirit. You know, it was just, I feel like I was on cloud 10, 11. I mean, I was up there. I was emotional, and I'm not a very emotional person. I talk about how I felt on that day. How did you feel? I mean, in that moment, I was just trying to, you know, I was just, she, God was really using her to speak, and also she was speaking to me and prophesying. It was just resonating in my spirit, and I was just like, wow.
I felt the same way. You know, I felt the same way. You know, while we were in the ceremony of getting married, you know, when she performed it, it seemed like, you know, I couldn't see anybody, but, you know, I felt the presence. You know, it was like it was some spirits that were not no unclean spirits, but it was like the spirit of love and joy. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was some spirits that was there, and it made me feel lifted. You know, I felt lifted, you know, and I was looking at you, and I was looking at Apostle Miriam, and it was just like, wow, you know, this is really happening. You know, this is really happening. So that's something that I always wanted. You know, I always wanted to be married, but I didn't just want to marry anybody. I like to say I didn't want to marry Boom Quisha. sorry,
Boom
Quisha. A real person named Boom Quisha. I didn't want to marry anybody that was just like, I didn't want to just marry just anybody. I didn't want to marry anybody. You know, I had standards of the type of woman that I wanted to marry. And while we was, you know, while we were being married, you know, I can actually see that, you know, this is right. This is the person that I've always wanted to marry. I've heard men say that all the time, you know, having cold feet. No, I didn't have any cold feet. I had hot feet.
Hot feet. She's so excited. God bless you.
Hot feet. And that's one thing that I tell you. I tell you that almost all the time. That I will marry you every single day.
Good, I'll marry you too. If you just tuning in to the Preacher and the Pastor show, we're talking about the thickness and the thinness of marriage. And my husband's talking about he didn't have cold feet, he had hot feet. We have a caller that wants to chime in. Hot feet. Kick those shoes off them hot feet. We're talking about the thickness and the thinness of marriage. We have a caller on. Caller from your last four digits. Caller is 0850. You're on the Preacher and the Pastor show. Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to our show. Who are we speaking with?
This is Miriam, Apostle Miriam.
Hello, Apostle Miriam. Welcome.
God, Jesus, the glory. We were just talking about you.
Yes. Amen. I'm enjoying the two of you, honestly. I am so happy to know you and really joyful to see you guys serving the Lord with marriage, because marriage is honorable by God. And
Amen.
God is using you to, what you're saying is really, really very beautiful. The area of, you know, banking your forgiveness, you know, and putting it in a bank. That almost like,
yes,
like the way you bank money, you bank your,
yes,
forgiveness, you bank your love. And that's,
yes,
what your husband was saying. It's so beautiful. I've never had anything like that before. That is beautiful.
Whoa,
you know,
thank God.
I have, yeah. Yeah, that is so beautiful. And I tell you what, when you find what God, what you guys are saying, when you find what God put together, He
yes,
puts everything together. He put where,
yes,
you will be married, who will marry you,
yes,
where you're going to live,
yes,
you know, what you will do, what job, what ministry. Like both of you, look at what you're doing. The preacher,
yes,
the pastor. He just, God just put everything together. And that's,
yes,
what it is when it comes to marriage, you know. And I just want to say you guys are blessed. And I'm grateful to would have performed the marriage. And also,
yes, thank you.
You gave me an opportunity that that had also opened the door for me in the area,
amen,
of relationship. Yes, you
amen,
did. You both blessed. You blessed me back. You blessed
Amen.
Me. You had a prayer. You had asked God that whoever is going to marry you, you told God what you wanted God to do for them.
Yes, true.
So Amen. You opened the door for me for relationship.
Amen.
You know? Well, after I'm a widow for the last 14 years, or you know, I've been a widow, and I've been thoroughly focusing on the Lord and doing ministry and ordaining people and doing marriages. But I've never seen anyone who prayed your prayer toward me,
Jesus.
To whom was going to marry them. That this is what you want God to do for them.
Yes.
So truly, when God said marriage is honorable, and what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, and that God knows who is going to marry you, who you will be with, that is so true. You guys exhibit, you showed me that everything falls in line with God when it comes to marriage.
Amen.
I just want to thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, we thank you so much, Pastor Marion, for calling in, and
thank you
so much for sharing on the show.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Have a good night. Stay tuned. We have a few more minutes left in the show. And just see what God is saying and using us to do. We're just so excited about what God is doing in this season. And I know that God is definitely setting you up. He's positioning you for what all that he has for you and the one that's for you. Amen.
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 If you're just now tuning in to the Preacher and the Pastor show, we're talking about the thickness and the thinness of marriage. Now, before we had our caller, my husband was telling me to tell you all about when we say come out. Well, we have this saying, come out, is when we having a conversation, the person goes too far in, and you get away too far from it, and it's starting to, you get to the other person, we'll say, come out. And so we have to come out, and sometimes you don't want to come out, and you got to go in there and get you out. Before you get too dirty in that thing, we'll say, come on out, come out. And so that's just a little saying, so we can keep ourselves grounded and we don't go too far where we can't get back. Because it's been times where I went too far.
A little bit about you explained what I'm talking about. Well, let's use it for an example. And I'm going to make sure you know I'll keep it up since for the radio. Use for an example, come out. You know, sometimes, you know, we can be talking about, you know, things. And a lot of times if we're talking about some things that came from the past, or especially if there was people that were in your past, sometimes, you know, wife, she'll get in this area, boy, she'll be talking about the last relationship and how they had to mess up and how to do certain things. And I'm like, okay, well, in my mind, so you dwelling right here, that man that came back up, and I have to tell her, come out of there. Leave that stuff alone. You come out there and leave that alone.
You come out with your hands up, with your mouth closed.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, she don't want to come out of there because she just got to say the two or three things that she missed. No, you come out of there right now. You leave that stuff out of there. Now he gone. So you come out. And she tried to tell me, you know, I was never in there. Yeah, you was in there. I'm running out of there. So close.
I saw you in there. Come on out.
I saw you.
If you just get to the Preacher and the Pastor show, we're talking about the thickness and the thinness of marriage. And we're talking about I guess it could be a safe word to keep us safe. But you know what I wanted to say is, just to be real, we did have a problem in our marriage in the beginning that could have taken us out. It could have taken us from thickness to thinness. And the way that you handled that, I mean, not to go into detail, but it was something that could have definitely crushed and just tore us apart if we didn't know, and if my husband didn't know that God called us to be together, and we would allow the enemy to come in and just tear everything down that God had built us up to be in this marriage. And you know, in that moment, you know, we could have went straight sin. You know, we could have went from, let's say, better to worse really quick. But I thank God for the Holy Spirit that operates in you, that you saw that thing, you called that thing out, you decree and declare, this is my wife, decree and declare that you cannot and you will not say, everything that you're trying to do will not work. You know, it's just, and I was just like, oh, you know, I just thank God because we're rooted in the Word of God. You know, our foundation is our relationship with God, and we're built on love, we're built on forgiveness, and that's so important. And one thing you always say, and I thank God for this, I really do, and that's a brag on my husband, but I just thank God because
no, go ahead.
One thing about him, he'll say, he'll say, I'm forgiveness. I am love. I am the righteousness of God. He can clothe with immense power and authority of the Holy Spirit. And that's something that he speaks and he stands in. And he is that because that thing that could have just ripped us apart, and I literally ripped the heart out your chest, he stood on the word of God, believing and trusting, operating in the Holy Spirit and not in his flesh. Because had he been operating in his flesh, I mean, the whole house could have been tore down as quick as it was built. I mean, it could have been a demolition. And I just seen how God works in him and how he allows the Holy Spirit to operate in him and flow in him daily. And one thing I can say is that if my husband is wrong about something, I don't have to argue with him because I know it's the Holy Spirit that operates in him. Then he's going to come back and he's going to say, okay, you know what? I was wrong, or I could have went about it a different way. But I love you, and so let's talk about it. And I love that, and that's how we keep our marriage flowing and going. That's what's important, keeping our marriage flowing and going.
You know what? I want to go ahead on and chime in. I want to thank you know for all your encouragement and for realizing you know that that's who I am. Because who I am is I want you to say. I don't want to say this who I am, but when you say it, that lets me know that who I say that I am, you definitely believe it. And that's a big part of being married. You know, you are a product of what you say. What you say, it tends to show up, you know, in your life. Who did you say you are? I don't have to tell nobody that I'm a truck driver. You know, you can look at me and tell me
you're driving
a truck. Yeah, because I'm driving a truck. I don't have to tell anybody. But, you know, that's one thing, you know, I do want to appreciate. Now, when we're talking about the thickness and the thinness, I do realize that y'all know my wife, she can't do no wrong. See, I have to realize that. Yes, she can do wrong, but in my I have to let her know in my eyes she can't do no wrong. Because if I don't, if I try to do anything else, oh, man, I didn't win against her. I didn't win against. Oh yeah, she. I know she did wrong, but I'm not gonna make it seem like she did wrong. You know, I'm just gonna just love her anyhow because I know that she's wrong, and I better not say how wrong she was. Oh, I better not do that. So we're talking about you know the thinness. Now, what we are saying right now, you know, this is good. You know, everybody, okay, this is good. It's good, but you know, there are couples that have been married, you know, for years and years and years, and they may have just made it to the thinness, you know, of their marriage. You know.
Yeah.
They have just made it. They might be right there, you know, in the thinness. You know, we've been together for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and I'm just tired of you. I'm tired of what you're doing. I'm tired of what you're saying. I'm tired of how you're treating me. So how can you get, you know, from there? How can you get from there? And I wrote down a couple of things, you know, where I wanted to ask you, your beautiful wife, is who are you today? Who are you today? And that was one of the questions that I asked, you know, saying, who are you today? And what I realized, you know, that I have to try to be the same person. What I'm talking about, you know, is as far as feelings are concerned, as far as attitude is concerned, I have to stay closely there as I possibly can. Because when I decide to change, I'm going to be somebody else. I'm going to say the wrong things. I don't want to be the person, you know, that every time I look at you, think of something that I can say to hurt you. Or if it even got past that point to where not only do I want to think of something that I can say to hurt you, I physically want to put my hand on you. Because the day that I decided to do that, that's the day that I decided to put my hands on somebody else's wife. Now, I might be married to you, but if I decide, you know what I'm saying, I want to physically touch you, I want to physically harm you because I want you to make sure you see what I see. I want to make sure you know what I know. I want to place that fear in you. Now, obviously, before that happens, you know, that needs to be a timeout. We got to step away from this thing. So who is doing
that?
That
come out.
Who
come
is doing
out.
That? That's that come out. That's that thinness. If you have made it to that place to where I want to lie to you, if you made it to that place to, you know, saying where I'm going to cheat on you. You made it to that place where I'm going to destroy who you are, the image. I'm going to make you fear me. You might be in that place where it's time to have a timeout or separate. What brung you together? Is it because, you know, what brung you together is not there anymore? Did your wife had that nice Coke bottle shape 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and she don't have it anymore? Did your husband have those thick and deep pockets like he had 20 or 30 years ago, and that's what attracted you to him?
Jeez.
But now, you know, his hair is not as long as it used to be. His stomach is not close to his back. Now it's more close to his knees. You know, I'm just being truthful about it. I'm just being truthful about it. What brung you together? Did you marry him or did you marry her, you know, for the carnal things? And now, you know, these things, they have disappeared, or they are slowly fading away. And now you're trying to destroy each other. That's one thing. I did not marry my wife, you know, for her money. I did not marry. I'm glad, you had a little something. Yeah, that works. I didn't marry her, you know, for a look. But that counts, too. You know, she has to look good, you know. That counts, too. But that wasn't the main reason why I married her. The main reason why I married you is because your spirit and my spirit, it's almost like they twined with each other. And it was like it was something like I never experienced before. Have you made it to that thinness in the marriage? And what are you going to do about it, or what can you do about it?
Jesus.
Can you help us out with that one? Help us out with that one, beautiful wife.
We have, you know, we're going to have to do a part two to this show. We have about 4 minutes left in the show, and we're definitely going to have to do a part two to the thickness and the thinness of marriage so we can cover those parts. It's been actually a really, really great show, but we need to make sure that we are effectively communicating with each other, spending time with each other, making sure that your spouse is your best friend, that you're in love with your spouse, acknowledge the issues that you have. Make sure that we're talking. Like I said, when it gets to the point where you stop communicating, you stop talking, when you shut down the lines of communication, you shut down the operation of marriage. You shut down everything, and that's when the enemy can come in, because now you're not listening to the one that you should be communicating with. Now you listen to everything on the outside. Now you start to walk in a double-mindedness, you know. So we have to be very careful with that. So who I am today, I am the wife of Dorsey Brian J. Manning, loving it, walking in the Holy Spirit. I'm a woman of God. I'm clothed with immense power, with the authority and power of the Holy Spirit. I'm the righteousness of God. And I just thank God that's who I am today, and that's who I work towards being every day of my life. It is a lifestyle. It's not a diet way of living. It's a lifestyle way of living. And each and every day I wake up that way, and I like you always say, love, rehearsing that thing, and I operate in it daily, and I make sure that's how I start my day off, is with God, because he is the head, and the head of our lives and the lifter of our heads. And so that's very important, because when you have that foundation, you can go back to it. You know, we are human. We are human, and we're gonna make some mistakes or whatever. We're going to make some mistakes, but we shouldn't wallow in those mistakes. We shouldn't operate in sin. And so, again, if you're just now tuning in to the thickness and the thinness of marriage, that's what we're talking about today, and we're wrapping up the last couple of hours. But I do want to say this, as we're talking about for better or for worse. You hear that in a lot of the vows that are being displayed at weddings. What does according to God's holy ordinance mean? When you decide to get married, you are doing what God intended for his people to do, which is to love one another and live godly lives which reflect his love, his loving and truthful character. And when you hear the saying, to death do us apart, that means indicating togetherness and community forever for the rest of your life, not setting the time on it, just enjoying each other for the rest of your life. And we thank God. We have about 90 minutes to wrap up. If you have food for thought, love, keep giving food for thought. We have less than 90 seconds to wrap up the show.
Okay, food for thought for today. I just want to give you five key ways of marrying your soulmate. And I'll do them on real quickly. Five key ways of marrying your soulmate. Okay, first one is physical attraction. Second one is the chemistry, or able to communicate effectively. That's the second one. The third one is wholeness. The fourth one is, did you hear a word from God? And the fifth one is, what is the purpose for your life? You know, when we have this the second part of this show, you know, I'll go through these things, but these are some keys that you can look for finding the right person, finding your soulmate. Amen.
If you just entered me into the preaching, the pastor show, we're talking about the thickness and the thinness of marriage. We'll have a part two to this. We definitely want to continue to elaborate on this and help someone. Tomorrow night we'll be on 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Our topic is walking by faith, and that's so important for a lot of us. And a lot of us, we can't do that, walk by faith. So tune in tomorrow night, 8 p.m., as we talk about walk by faith. You all, stay tuned. God bless you. May God bless your marriage and increase you in his goodness. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, to God be the glory. Until tomorrow night, you all take care. God bless you. Amen.